Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to Life Shifting with Dr. J. I'm Dr. Jeffrey Hull, and I am excited to be back again with you this week to let you let go of fear and get your life in gear. So I think we're all gearing up for the holidays this week and next week, and I hope that those of you that are out there taking time out from your day to listen to us are not overly stressed, and we'll be relaxed into a wonderful conversation today with a fabulous guest that I have joining me. A couple of little housekeeping notes that I want to mention before we jump into our conversation. I am very excited to announce that this Wednesday I'm going to be doing my first ever webinar / teleseminar in conjunction with ConnectWorks. You may have listened in when I had Kathy Nelson, the owner and leader of the company called ConnectWorks on the West Coast that coaches and supports entrepreneurs and business owners to take their businesses to a whole new level of success. And we are doing a teleseminar together this Wednesday at 11:30 Pacific time, 2:30 Eastern Time. It's called Fearless Selling, Four Keys to Rev Your Revenues. And I am going to be talking with Kathy about a subject that's near and dear to my heart, which is what I'm calling how to master the art of conscious connection. So in today's world, we have a tendency to get very caught up in social media and kind of a transaction level approach to selling. And what I'm focusing on is helping people reach out and touch their customers in a really focused relationship building approach. So I'm very excited to offer this teleseminar. And if you're available on Wednesday, you can sign up. It's free. I hope you will join me and Kathy and get some key principles for taking your business and your relationship building to a new level. You can sign up at the ConnectWorks website, which is www.connectworks.com, or you can simply send me an email at jwhull@life-shifting.com, and I'll be happy to send you the information. So please, if you're listening in and you're starting a business or looking to grow a business, I hope you'll consider joining us. It should be a very exciting opportunity to be in dialogue and to kick off 2011 with some new ideas and some new tips on how to increase your revenues. So what do we have up today? Well, it's interesting. I love the synchronicities that take place in my experience doing this show, because recently I got called by a colleague who is doing a book on something she's calling How to Create a Conscious Legacy. And I had no idea what she was talking about. So I agreed wholeheartedly to be part of this interview process and to share my thoughts once I had an idea of what she was talking about. And what she was talking about is the idea that she's trying to write a book and help people in looking at how they can become very aware of how they're living their lives and think proactively into the future about what kind of legacy they're going to leave to their children, to their relationships, to their friends, and to the world. And I thought this was a really interesting topic. And then I realized that the synchronicity is wonderful, because today's guest is actually an expert in this very topic. And so we're going to dig into what it means to develop and create a conscious legacy. And we're going to do that by exploring something that my guest calls the Ebenezer Effect. And that's also perfectly timed around the holidays. So there's kind of a confluence of a lot of themes that are coming together. So let me just jump in and introduce this wonderful man that I happen to have met a few months ago, who is a very successful author and the expert speechwriter for a number of our government officials in his career. Matthew Casalotto is his name, and he is, as I said, a speech writer, a speech coach, a life coach, and the former aide to House Speaker Jim Wright and Congressman Leon Panetta. So we have an expert. He's called the Podium Pro. We have an expert presenter and writer and communicator with us today. Matthew has been a communication specialist for many major corporations in addition to the federal government. So working with MCI Communications, Pepsi Cola, and GTE, just to mention a few. He's also the author of a number of books, one of which is called The Almanac of European Politics. He's written a book called All the World's a Podium, another that we're going to talk about today in which he discusses what I'm calling and what he calls the Ebenezer Effect. This book is called Habit Force. And then he also has a brand new book coming out, and we're definitely going to dig into this one, called The Power of Making a Promise. So I am very excited to have Matthew here today with me to discuss the Ebenezer Effect and to dig into this idea that my colleague, I have to give credit where credit is due, my colleague Maura Conlon McIver is writing a book about conscious legacy. So welcome, Matthew.
Hey, Dr. J. How are you?
I am excited to have you here. There's like so many different topics that we want to touch on today.
How many hours do we have?
Yeah.
Sounds like we have a lot of territory to cover. Exciting.
Yeah, and I love the synchronicity of having you on my show this week at exactly the same time that, as I was saying, this colleague wrote to me and asked me if I would interview for her book called How to Create a Conscious Legacy. And I wasn't sure exactly what that means until she started sharing with me the idea that, you know, she wants to support people in being conscious and proactive and thoughtful about what kind of legacy they're creating in their life. And I thought it was a really interesting topic. And then I realized that when you and I discussed doing this show, you shared with me something that you've written about in one of your books that's really very, very in alignment with that. And maybe that's a good place for us to start, which is what we're calling, or what you were calling, the Ebenezer Effect. Do you want to share with our listeners a little bit about how you came to know about this and write about it in your book, Habit Force?
Yeah, definitely. The Ebenezer Effect is kind of like what you're talking about, a legacy kind of an idea. I actually use another phrase which gets people's attention. I talk about writing your own eulogy, which is kind of like a conscious legacy. And, of course, we don't want to get morbid. It isn't a morbid thing. But basically, why I call it the Ebenezer Effect is that, if we step back just for a second, Ebenezer Scrooge, this time of year, is everyone knows the name, and
right.
It's usually kind of a negative. But I'm suggesting... You know, people say, don't be a Scrooge. I'm suggesting people should be a Scrooge in a positive sense. Be a Scrooge this holiday season. In the sense that what happened with Scrooge is that he changed. And talk about life shifting. He changed overnight. So he's a great role model for personal change. And we don't have time to go through all of the details of what caused him to change overnight, but basically, he took stock of his life. He went to the past, he went to the present, and then he went into the future. And that's where the real change happens. The change happens with Scrooge, and this is the Ebenezer Effect, basically, when he went with the spirit of Christmas yet to come to visit his own tombstone. And that was a rude awakening. That was a wake-up call for Ebenezer. He saw his name on his tombstone, and he realized, you know, this is, he confronted his own mortality.
Right.
And I think there's something very powerful about doing that. And just to go back to another kind of an idea people might be familiar with, Stephen Covey in his book, The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, one of the habits is to begin with the end in mind.
Right. That's great. Yep. Absolutely.
Begin with the end in mind. And now, we're not talking, I mean, unless somebody knows something I don't know, maybe there's a secret out there I don't know about, you know, we are all going to, you know, have a tombstone or meet our maker. We're all going to end you're going to shuffle off this mortal coil, as
right.
Hamlet says.
Yep.
And so why not realize that, recognize it early before it's too late? Now, Scrooge was a little bit elderly. He thankfully recognized it. His friend Jacob Marley didn't recognize it, and he was chained and in purgatory for
right.
For the duration. But recognize,
yeah,
before it's too late. That,
yeah, I that love you, that. I think what you're pointing to, and what my colleague was looking to write about, as she's calling a conscious legacy, is exactly that. It's like a wake up call. And
yeah,
this is a really good time of year to do that, because we're coming to the end of a year. And I think people are stepping back, and we're going to take our first break. And when we come back, I want to ask you to dig into how you came. I know you've written about this, and you share your wisdom around this idea of proactively living your life and creating that legacy long before you get to be a Scrooge. And I want to dig in and learn about your background and how you came to have this wisdom and how you encourage people to bring that into their lives. So we're going to take our first break. You're listening to Life Shifting with Dr. J. I am thrilled to have Matthew Casalotto here, executive coach and speechwriter, and we will be right back.
Life Shifting with Dr. J is a show about living full out and helping listeners to banish their fears, embrace their dreams, and move with greater ease through the ups and downs of our crazy world. Dr. J's Life Shifting method is all about reinventing and renewing ourselves throughout our lives. Dr. J will have a wide array of entertaining, insightful, and highly credentialed guests who will inspire us with stories of their own life shifts. Listeners will wake up, listen deeply, and reflect about their own lives, and are encouraged to call in and get live coaching from Dr. J and his expert guests, who are passionate about helping people reclaim lost vitality. Life Shifting with Dr. J is about heartfelt dialogue, amazing life stories, personal struggles of highly successful people, their journeys, their ups and downs, and their triumphs. Listen in to Life Shifting with Dr. J on TransformationTalkRadio.com. You'll be inspired and moved to step up to your growing edge and shift your life into high gear. Visit TransformationTalkRadio.com for the complete show schedule.
In the last 30 years, over 1 million people have gone from busy and a bit overweight to busy enjoying life, having lost weight using MetaFast products. The Take Shape for Life program has taken that success of MetaFast meals even further with a free certified health coach and a realistic and simple plan. You're not fixing a problem. You're on a journey to optimal health. Learn more. Talk to a health coach and hear their story of success. Call 877-520-SIMPLE. That's 877-520-SIMPLE. Results will vary. Talk to your doctor before starting program. Call for details.
We are living in a time of great challenges and greater opportunity for transformation. The good news is that public awareness of the need for change is also growing exponentially. More than ever, your transformative message is needed to empower millions across the globe.
Hi, I'm Dr. Pat, host of The Dr. Pat Show, and I'm excited about announcing an unprecedented opportunity for growth as we expand our broadcast by launching Transformation Talk Radio and the Transformation Network. Join me and a team of amazing people and host your own show on Transformation Talk Radio. Get ready to expand your horizons, tap into the best listeners anywhere, and join one of the most positive and expansive networks today.
Historically, there came a time when the boundary of water was transcended as man developed the boat, and the barriers of water became freeways. Join Dr. Pat as she launches this exciting venture. To host a show, call 1-800-930-2819 or email host@transformationtalkradio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Life Shifting with Dr. J. I am Dr. Jeffrey Hull, and I am very excited to be in dialogue today with Matthew Casalotto. And we were just discussing what we're calling, or Matthew specifically calls, the Ebenezer effect. And I want to dive into that a little bit more, Matthew, but perhaps give our listeners some background, because you've written this wonderful book called Habit Force, which I think we'll make sure we give everyone ways to get that. And then I know you have a new book coming out. And a lot of these themes are in your writings, and they're clearly part of the approach you take to coaching and working with people. So maybe you'd share with listeners a little bit about Habit Force, maybe how you came to write it, and some of the key themes that led to this idea of the Ebenezer effect.
Yeah, well, listen, Habit Force, there is a bit of a story behind it. I'll try to make it real brief. I had a bit of a failure. I didn't do something I wanted to achieve back in the mid-1980s. I had this idea. I don't know if we talked about this, Jeff. I had this idea for launching comedy TV, and I'll give you a real short version.
Wow.
It was a terrific idea. Comedy TV before Comedy Central is right when MTV got started and CNN. There are only a couple of cable channels out there. And I had this idea for comedy TV, went to talk to a big-time attorney in D.C. and worked on it for about 6 months with a friend. And really had all these great programming ideas. And, again, make it real short, comedy TV did not happen. And I blew it because I didn't pursue it. I dropped the ball. I sort of talked myself out of this thing. I made excuses. I came up with, all kinds of reasons not to do it. And so then I saw a couple of years later, I saw this article about people who actually did form Comedy Central. And I'll tell you, the really kind of frightening thing was I read this article thinking it was about me.
Wow.
For a second. I thought, wait, how'd they get the story about the comedy station I was trying to form? And then it dawned on me. It wasn't about me. So for a couple of years, I really got interested in this whole question of why some people succeed and other people fail.
Yeah, that's a
what
really
is
profound.
It, why some people pursue these great ideas and other people drop the ball like I did. So I read The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, among many other things, Tony Robbins and all the great self-help writers and gurus out there. And it was almost like what I call a multiple epiphany. The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, it occurred to me, well, maybe there are 7 Habits of Highly Ineffective People. They're the opposite habits that cause people to fail. So then it just dawned on me, failure has 7 letters. And then it's like immediately I thought, wait a minute, success has 7 letters. It strikes me as being really remarkable that these two powerful words have 7 letters. There's something magic about 7.
Synchronicities again.
These two opposite words. So I thought I'm going to create 2 acronyms for failure habits and success habits, and I'll put them side by side. Make a long story short, I talked to my mother about this for quite a while. Just this idea. I said, I get this idea for this book. This was like in the late 90s or so. And she was encouraging me, and I didn't quite finish it. And I was thinking, wait a minute, I can't do this comedy TV thing all over again. I got to work on this book. Well, it turns out, sadly, tragically, my mother got cancer, and she was very sick. And I actually made a promise to my mother. We talked about this on her deathbed.
Right. Yep. No, I know. I remember you're sharing that with me. Very powerful.
That I would finish writing this book. I hadn't finished it. I didn't know exactly how it would come out, but I had this idea for these 2 powerful acronyms, which helps people to remember the habits. So that was the idea. So I made the promise, and then, when you make a promise like that, I knew when I said it that I could not fail. The failure was not an option. So making a promise has become a bit of a wonderful obsession of mine right now, how to help people by making promises. And so
But you did actually finish the book Habit Force, right?
That is the book. That is the whole connection here. It's between this whole, narrative arc, from comedy TV that didn't happen to failure success habits, having to, put this idea of Habit Force and that whole book idea, making a promise to my mother and getting it done. And so we're talking about the book Habit Force because I made the promise. And I actually say in the dedication, which maybe if we have a second, I'll just read it if you don't mind.
Sure.
It's pretty brief, and I think it'll give people a powerful idea of what this is about. So here's the dedication in my book, Habit Force, to my mother. In loving memory of my mother, Virginia Hope Butler, I did it, Mom, finally. I can honestly say that this book would never have been completed had I not made that promise to you at home in Gasky, California, a few weeks before you passed away. This vividly demonstrates the power of making a promise, especially to your mother. So that's the dedication. Now,
beautiful.
Note the phrase, the power of making a promise.
Right.
That was in the dedication. And now the new book that you mentioned, that I'm happy to say will have a foreword by Jack Canfield, The Power of Making a Promise is the next book. And it's part of this continuum of recognizing that maybe I didn't follow through on a particular project, and there have been others, obviously, but then making a determined effort to learn about how to break through some of those barriers.
And you're obviously, now that you're on to your second book, and I guess we can consider this to be a definitive success story.
it's a work in progress.
We all are. And yes. I think that's part of this whole idea of, getting back to the Ebenezer effect and the idea of creating a conscious legacy is really looking into the future and asking yourself, when I look back on my life, what do I want to feel about it? I want to feel like I made a contribution. I want to feel like I did things that served the planet, that served my children, that served the people that I love. And I think that, we all go through those struggles of what you're calling failure, but the failure moments become, if we use them in the way you did, to turn around and make commitments or promises, they become the transformational moment. They become the wake-up call. And so that's what I actually love about your story, is that we, it's sort of proof of, for example, what I write about in my book Shift, which is that you can rewrite your story at any time. You don't have to wait till you're Scrooge at the very end of your life.
That's right. Don't wait too long, folks.
Yeah, exactly. I'm curious, you said that you obviously did a lot of reflecting on what you're calling a failure. I mean, a missed opportunity or just not following through. The failure word is a strong word. But, in your study of people working in government and working in corporate America, what do you think is the difference between those people that develop those good habits and those that don't?
Well, I don't know if there's any one thing, but I have come up with something that's not in Habit Force, but I think it is a good way to start the whole process of change. And I call it the six axioms of personal empowerment. Now, and we don't have time to get into all of these things, but I think the people who actually achieve and don't fall back on maybe habits that don't get them where they want to go, the people who actually do achieve and succeed things in life, I think, are programmed. And what's interesting about habits is that it doesn't take any more effort, it doesn't take any more time or trouble to develop a bad habit or a good habit. It's just a habit, and it's a programming process. It's like a software. And so these six axioms of personal empowerment are very useful. I think that people who just are programmed in a way that moves them in the direction that they want to go, so that they actually achieve. And it's not any more difficult. It's just that they're programmed that way. And I think if there is one thing that differentiates those who achieve and those who maybe fall short, I actually have an enlightened view of failure, kind of the way you have talked about it. You can learn from your mistakes and learn from failure and move on from that.
Right.
That's the real key. People do, when they fall short and they learn from that, then you can actually benefit a great deal. But the awareness, I think I believe that it boils down to awareness. You can't change what you don't realize. And I know you're right. in that business of helping people recognize, where they are. And
right. Yeah, no, I love what you're saying, because I think you're actually hitting the nail on the head, that the key transformational moment is when you become aware that whatever habits you have, whatever stories you have, whatever behaviors you have that are taking you in a direction that's against your best interests or a dream or a goal you have, that you are actually doing it to yourself, that you're undermining yourself. And it's waking up to see that and then moving through the self-critical piece and not making it worse by beating yourself up. I like to say there's no such thing as failure. Yeah. There's just waking up and really realizing that we can operate differently.
Yeah, no, so, you're exactly right. In fact, the U in failure, I talked about these two acronyms. The U and the word failure stands for something you just said, undermining yourself. The U stands for undermining yourself. And a lot of what happens in life when you don't achieve what you set out to achieve, like comedy TV, it's a process of undermining yourself. I went through a process in which I made excuses, and the internal dialogue is what you become aware of the internal dialogue where you bring things to conscious awareness that the programming is going on like autopilot.
But you can reprogram. You can reprogram, and that's crucial.
And reprogramming your habit force. That's what the book is all about, reprogramming your habit force so it works for you, not against you.
So when we get back from the next break, I would love to dig into the principles that I know you've laid out and that you're putting into your wonderful new book, The Power of Making a Promise. So you're listening to Life Shifting with Dr. J, and we'll be right back.
Life Shifting with Dr. J is a show about living full out and helping listeners to banish their fears, embrace their dreams, and move with greater ease through the ups and downs of our crazy world. Dr. J's Life Shifting method is all about reinventing and renewing ourselves throughout our lives. Dr. J will have a wide array of entertaining, insightful, and highly credentialed guests who will inspire us with stories of their own life shifts. Listeners will wake up, listen deeply, and reflect about their own lives, and are encouraged to call in and get live coaching from Dr. J and his expert guests who are passionate about helping people reclaim lost vitality. Life Shifting with Dr. J is about heartfelt dialogue, amazing life stories, personal struggles of highly successful people, their journeys, their ups and downs, and their triumphs. Listen in to Life Shifting with Dr. J on TransformationTalkRadio.com. You'll be inspired and moved to step up to your growing edge and shift your life into high gear. Visit TransformationTalkRadio.com for the complete show schedule.
Do you ever get so frazzled you find it difficult to function? Many people are experiencing more stress and fear than ever. When we react from this place of fear and stress, we end up damaging relationships and creating more grief in our lives. Lynette McKenzie has a solution for you. The Energy Emergency Toolkit. 10 easy tools to go from frazzled to fantastic in 5 minutes. Visit OpenLiveNow.com and download your free Energy Emergency Toolkit and go from frazzled to fantastic now.
Remember, for our dogs and cats to live long and happy lives, just like people, they are what they eat. Wellness Carefully selects wholesome ingredients to create food you can trust to provide the foundation of your pet's well-being. True wellness means every ingredient has a purpose in every recipe they make. You can trust the quality of all ingredients in wellness from their source to your pet's bowl. Visit wellnesspetfood.com to find a pet specialty retailer near you. Wellness Natural Food for Pets. This is where true wellness begins.
Are you taking too many oral pain pills and concerned about side effects? Are you having trouble getting to sleep because of the pain? Well, I'm Lou Paradise. I had the same problems you have. Cured my pain, eliminated pain pills and their side effects by developing Toprasin, pain relief and healing cream. Toprasin relieves pain without side effects. It doesn't burn, it doesn't smell, and it doesn't stain. But don't just take my word for it. Doctors, pharmacists, and pain specialists are using and recommending Toprasin and ending the suffering for thousands of people just like you. We know you're hurt. We want to help. We're so sure Topperson will work for you, we offer a money-back guarantee. So if you want pain relief with no side effects, ask for Topperson. Topperson is available at Bi-Mart, New Seasons, and other fine health food stores and co-ops. Ask for Topperson or call 1-800-959-1007 for a store nearest you. That's 1-800-959-1007. Topperson, the last pain medicine you'll ever need, and you can sleep on that.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Life Shifting with Dr. J, and I am Dr. Jeffrey Hull, and I am talking today with best-selling author and speechwriter and coach for executives, Matthew Cosolato. And Matthew and I have been discussing the themes from his book called Habit Force, and then also the themes that are going to be coming up in the new book that I think he's going to tell us when it comes out, but that's called The Power of Making a Promise. And Matthew is doing all sorts of exciting things, like creating a Make a Promise Day, and you have
a whole
series of things. But hey, before we dig into that, let's talk about some of the key. You left off before the break talking about what you consider to be some of the key drivers of making that shift from sort of the bad habits to keeping promises and moving in the positive direction. Do you want to share some of those keys?
In terms of the axioms of personal empowerment, are those keys?
I think that would be great. I mean, maybe not. You said there were seven of them, or six of them, right?
So there's six axioms of personal empowerment. I also have seven keys for keeping your promises. Now, that could be another topic. Maybe at the end of the segment we can get into the seven keys. But the one thing I do want to mention, and it's useful to put it into context, the book Habit Force. I actually have it's not the subtitle, but the way I talk about it, I call it the User's Guide for Your Personal Operating System. About reprogramming your habit force and habits. And maybe it's worth mentioning just a little bit that habit force, I call it. It's just I coined the phrase. And then I later found out that Napoleon Hill had used a similar phrase. He called it cosmic habit force. I don't talk about cosmic habit force, but he used habit force many years ago. So I acknowledge that in the book, but I just call it habit force, basically force of habit, but it's a program. And we are what we repeatedly do is the first axiom of personal empowerment. And that comes right out of Aristotle. Right. We are what we repeatedly do. And Aristotle goes on to say that excellence is not an act, it's a habit. And so I say that failure or falling short is also a habit. So you get into these habits, these programs, and so the second axiom is that habit force can either work for you or against you. It's really neutral, and it's like gravity. It's just there, and so you have to just recognize that habit force can work on your behalf or it can work against you, depending on what you want to achieve. You know, it's not good or bad or anything. It's just, what do you want to achieve with your life? What's your legacy? What is it you want to do? Third axiom, I'll just do this real quickly, Jeff.
Yeah.
See if we want to talk about any one of them. But the critical one, obviously, is the third one, is that you have a choice. You can reprogram your habit force. It's something that maybe you were raised with certain habits and mindsets and patterns of thought and maybe some negative ideas, but you can reprogram it, and that's where this personal operating system comes into play, this idea of a software program you can reprogram. The fourth axiom, and we talked about this, you can't change what you don't realize. You have to become aware of the patterns and the thoughts and the habits that you have. Where, what's your starting point. Where are you right now? Don't get too, stuck in the past and blaming yourself or criticizing yourself too much. Where are you now? And then, how do you make the changes you want to make? But you have to become aware. So you can't change what you don't realize. The fifth axiom is that this is critical too. It takes a habit to replace a habit. This is where a lot of the change process breaks down, I think. People want to change, but they can't just change. We all have a full suitcase full of habits. We can't just cram another habit in there.
Right.
We have to take out the habits that we don't want. So yeah, it takes a habit to replace a habit. You can't just throw on a new habit. You have to replace the old habit.
And often you have to start very small. I think that one of the things that many of my clients, I do in my coaching or therapy practice is people get aware, to your point, they take stock and they become aware of what they want to change, but then they leap immediately to, well, I want to write a book or I'm going to lose 100 pounds. And, you don't shift into a new habit by swamping all the old habits.
Yeah. Well, so, it's just impossible. It's just impossible to cram another habit into. We're all perfectly complete in our habits.
Right.
It may not be working.
Right.
It may not, but we can't really just add another habit. We have to, let's say you have a habit of, watching TV for 3 hours a night and you're on the couch. Well, you got to take away that habit and then you have some time for some other more useful activities. So it is a process of it takes a habit to replace a habit. Again, that actually comes directly from Napoleon Hill. So you don't have to take my word for it, but it takes a habit to replace a habit. And let me just finish the sixth one. And this is another one that is actually a kind of wisdom through the ages. We become what we think about. And I actually am thinking of a new title or a new way to think about that is, the title I'm going to use is what you think is what you get, not what you see is what you get, what you think is what you get.
Right.
And so we become what we think about. Earl Nightingale was pretty famous for putting that out there, but James Allen and a bunch of people, Buddha has said it, and it's in the Bible, and basically our thoughts determine our future. The law of attraction, all of these.
Yeah, it's the core principle of The Secret, if you're familiar with The Secret. There's no question about that. The way I like to frame it, I find a lot of it depends on how you frame it for people, and everyone has different access routes to their thinking process. And one of the ways that I find sometimes works for people and that I write about in my book is to think of it's like, what story are you telling yourself?
Right.
And that, the story you say about yourself is what gets manifest.
Mm. Right. Yeah. So. No, that is a good way. But it all is in the realm of thoughts. And
exactly. In the realm
of thinking. What's going on between the ears. So a lot of what I say when I talk about habit force, it really is habits between the ears and the internal dialogue.
Absolutely.
And the story you tell yourself. And how you rationalize and make excuses or not. And so that,
what was the last one?
Six, yep.
Was that the last one?
Yeah, the sixth axiom. That was the sixth one. So the six axioms of personal empowerment, that was the sixth one. We become what we think about. And I always sometimes think of this as kind of a virtuous circle. It sort of starts with, we are what we repeatedly do, and then it goes around to we become what we think about. Because then you can start changing what you think about. You can start changing. Then when you change what you think about, then you start to change what you repeatedly do. That's where the habit starts to change. But that's the process. I mean, that's the, but then you have to become aware of the exact habits, and that's where the failure acronyms and then success acronyms come into play. And just so everyone understands, I talk about the three R's, not reading, writing, and arithmetic. I talk about recognize, reject, and replace. You recognize a failure trap or a habit, like the first one in the word failure starts with F, is finger pointing. We talked about making excuses and playing the blame game and that kind of thing. So you recognize that maybe you have a pattern or a habit of making excuses for whatever happens in your life, and say, "Well, my parents did it," or I don't have enough money, or
We all get into caught up in that one, unfortunately.
Yeah, we're all caught. But whatever the, just become aware that maybe you have a pattern. You're making excuses. You're pointing the finger out there. Someone else is to blame. And what happens when you're engaged in finger pointing, as you know really well, is you give away all your power to all these other things that you're blaming. You're blaming and making excuses, but someone else did it. Well, who's in charge of your life and who's going to make the change in your life? You got to point your finger at yourself. So you want to recognize and reject that consciously. Don't dwell on it. Don't spend a lot of time.
So the three are recognize, reject, and what was the third one?
Replace.
Okay.
Replace.
Yeah.
That
so
habit.
That's the whole. I mean, it's very similar to my cycle for self-renewal that I write about in my book. So we're very much in alignment with that.
Very much in alignment.
We're going to have to take a quick break. I hate to cut you off because we're on a roll here. But when we come back from the break, I'm dying to get into this book that you are about to put out to the world called Making a Promise. And you're listening to Life Shifting with Dr. J. I'm with Matthew Casalotto, and we will be right back.
Life Shifting with Dr. J is a show about living full out and helping listeners to banish their fears, embrace their dreams, and move with greater ease through the ups and downs of our crazy world. Dr. J's Life Shifting Method is all about reinventing and renewing ourselves throughout our lives. Dr. J will have a wide array of entertaining, insightful, and highly credentialed guests who will inspire us with stories of their own life shifts. Listeners will wake up, listen deeply, and reflect about their own lives, and are encouraged to call in and get live coaching from Dr. J and his expert guests who are passionate about helping people reclaim lost vitality. Life Shifting with Dr. J is about heartfelt dialogue, amazing life stories, personal struggles of highly successful people, their journeys, their ups and downs, and their trials. Listen in to Life Shifting with Dr. J on TransformationTalkRadio.com. You'll be inspired and moved to step up to your growing edge and shift your life into high gear. Visit TransformationTalkRadio.com for the complete show schedule.
Are you tired of being tired? Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. Did you know the adrenal glands, the workhorse of the body? They are the means by which you position yourself in life for whatever comes your way. Tiny but mighty, producing hormones the body uses to promote energy and vitality. These adrenals determine how you respond to stress, and when depleted, the body loses its ability to function powerfully when we need it most. The much-needed adrenaline or epinephrine is not available for emergency situations. Cortisone and cortisol, the longer-acting anti-stress adrenal hormones, can also become depleted due to the pace of our everyday lives. We overwork and undernutrition our most powerful ally that helps us to live the lives we desire. With CRA, we are able to determine the optimum function of the adrenals and put your system back in balance. Contact us today to feel powerfully energized at 888-777-4232. Or visit us at MaryJaneMack.com.
The 19th Annual Women of Wisdom Conference is February 17th through the 21st. Our theme is Women Arise, Unveil the Power of the Divine Feminine. Special guests are Susan Weed, Carolyn Sutherland, and many others, sharing their gifts through experiential events all weekend long. Join our email list at womenofwisdom.org and watch for announcements about the conference. That's womenofwisdom.org.
After a 15-year search for a truly delicious, healthy, easy-to-prepare organic meal, Savitri and Adil Pakivala founded Eastern Essence. They set out to do what their friends and business acquaintances thought impossible, to produce delicious, healthy, vital food grown in harmony with nature and to promote organic farming in India. Happy food, happy people, happy planet. For more information, go to easternessence.com. That's easternessence.com.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Life Shifting with Dr. J, and I am in dialogue today with Matthew Casalotto, who is the writer of two or three wonderful books about how to break out of bad habits and move beyond failure and create a legacy of success. He has done that in his own life, and he's developed tips and principles that he's sharing through his writing and through his speeches and through his seminars. And we were just about to talk about his newest book, which I think is on the horizon. He's going to tell us about that. It's called The Power of Making a Promise. And I know that he's collecting amazing stories from some pretty cool people in terms of how they are transforming themselves and the lives of others through this idea of just making a simple promise, what that involves. So tell us more about this, Matthew. How did this book come about, and where are you in the process?
Well, The Power of Making a Promise, that phrase, that notion, was really part of, on a subconscious kind of level, really what was going on with finishing my book, Habit Force. I made a promise to my mother.
Right.
And in the dedication, I used that phrase, The Power of Making a Promise, and I really didn't know what, why or what that was about. But now, a few years later, in fact, this year, in 2010, it dawned on me, it was like another one of these epiphanies, sort of wake up and say, wait a minute, this is a, I should do more with that and share this with people. We have this power to change our lives, and sometimes it's, you know, change is frustrating, and we don't know exactly how to proceed, and maybe we set goals and we fall short, and or we, you know, fail at different things that we want to achieve in our lives. And so I'm thinking, well, what is it that can actually help people break through all that? Obviously, habit force, learning about habit force, and learning about the habits of failure and success, and that can be useful. But I actually believe that there are a couple of things. One is this Ebenezer effect, which is, okay, take a long view, begin with the end in mind. What do you want to achieve? And think of it in the past tense. What did you achieve? Write your own eulogy. That's one way to get motivated. Nothing
Great.
Focuses the mind like the guillotine, as they say. You know, once you get that and do it in a positive way, okay, you know, face facts, folks. You know, no one is guaranteed even tomorrow, you know, forget about 20, 30 years from now. So,
right.
You know, start thinking about what it is you want to achieve, what's your legacy, write your own eulogy. That's one way to really get motivated. And I write about that in Habit Force. But I also am now talking another motivation, and that is the power of making a promise. And so I encourage people to turn goals into promises.
I love one of the phrases you use, Matthew. You said, a promise is like a goal on steroids.
Yeah.
That's great.
It is. It's like, we go through all this. In our lives, we learn about goal setting, which is can be very powerful, obviously, setting objectives and, you know, pointing ourselves in the direction we want to go. And all of these things can be very empowering. But I think all of that sort of pales in comparison to what we have readily available to us from childhood. This is what happens with promises. We know from childhood that we keep our promises. In fact, John Assaraf, in his interview with me on this book, John Assaraf said that we are neurologically wired to keep our promises.
What is the difference in your mind? What is the difference, the key difference between making a promise and setting a goal?
I think there are about two or three things, really important things. One is accountability. If you make a promise, and I recommend to people, and we'll go through the seven tips here in a second. I recommend that people make promises to someone they care about, as I did with my mother. Make a promise
right.
to someone you care about.
You're
then
bringing
you
someone else into it.
What's that?
You're bringing someone else into the conversation with you, so you're not just doing it alone.
That's right. A lot of people say, well, I made a promise to myself I'm going to lose 20 pounds. The trouble with that, and that can work. Most likely it won't work, but it can work. Make a promise to yourself, fine, but share that with somebody else. Make it public. in some way, one person, five people, whatever, make it public. Put it on the internet. You made a promise, you know, make it public. That means accountability. So that's one difference. Now, a goal, you can say I set a goal, and that's fine. But what's interesting, language is important. You don't make a goal to somebody. You know, you can't make a goal to somebody. You can make a promise to somebody. So it's important. So there's an accountability. And by bringing someone else into it, you're getting reinforcements. Why not? Why not reinforce if you have it available to you? Why not use the technology we have? Make a promise to someone you care about. You're much more likely to quit smoking, lose weight, write the book, whatever it is that you want to achieve if you make a promise to someone you care about. So that's one thing, accountability. Also, with a promise, your integrity is on the line in a way that is not true with a goal. A lot of people, you can change a goal. You can only break a promise.
Yeah.
So
it's good.
Breaking, and we know from childhood that we're supposed to keep our promises. So, this is really important. I know, when I talk about this, it's almost like people get, this is the third difference between a goal and a promise. The promise emanates from the heart. There's an emotional attachment to a promise, that just the word evokes some, you know, heart-centered kind of a process. A goal tends to be a little bit of a left brain function, like an objective, but a promise, there's something special about a promise. There's something really different. So it's like a goal on steroids. And my mantra that I like
I love what you're saying, because one of the things that's key in my book, and again, we're so aligned around this, is that in order to make a real shift in your life, you have to incorporate the head, the heart, and the body. You can't just do it in the thought process. It has to be feeling and, in fact, physical. You actually have to get engaged physically with whatever it is that you're trying to change, shift into. Yeah. And so, it's like skin. It's like what they call skin in the game, you know, and heart in the game. And I think you're totally right on that. This is it sounds a little bit like a linguistic game on some level, but it's much more powerful than that. So it's beautiful what you're saying. And I want to reinforce to people, you know, this is really crucial. You know, we talked at the beginning of the show about becoming self-aware of your habits, and then the tips around how to make the change, you're really getting right at the heart of it now. And, you know, unfortunately, we only have a couple more minutes, and I'm not going to have time to go through your seven keys. So let's encourage people to reach out and find you, and so that people can really get closer to this work and bring it into their lives. I know you've, in fact, got a holiday you're setting up called Make a Promise Day, and you have a website, and tell people how to track you down.
Well, there are a couple ways. The main website is called thepodiumpro.com, www.thepodiumpro.com, and that really is the central place for my speaking, my speech writing, my books and everything. So people can actually buy Habit Force if they want, and All the World's a Podium. And eventually there'll be an e-book version of The Power of Making a Promise available fairly soon. There'll be an actual bigger book, physical book, that will come out later with Jack Canfield's foreword. But I'm very far along on the book, and I'd like to do kind of an e-book version, small version of it, just for some of these pointers and tips.
Yeah, get that stuff out there, Matthew.
Yeah, I'm really excited. I'm so passionate about it and so excited about The Power of Making a Promise. And you mentioned Make a Promise Day, and maybe we have time just to mention that it's May 4th.
You did. Just mention the date, and how can we learn more about that on your website?
Yeah, well, people can go to makeapromiseday.com.
Oh, great. Okay.
There's a special website, and it's a little bit work in progress. It's kind of... Anyway, go there. They'll see a picture of me with my mother. They'll see a logo. They'll see some stuff. It's going to change. It'll be updated.
That's great.
There is that website.
I am so excited for you. I think you're onto something really powerful, and I'm glad to hear that people like Jack Canfield are getting on board with a foreword. And you never know, maybe one of the things you'll be leaving us, Matthew, will be a national holiday called Make a Promise Day. You never know.
Why stop with national? It's going to be a global holiday.
I love it. All right, my friend. Well, thank you so much for joining me today. It's been really wonderful having you on the show. And I hope that everyone will track down Matthew's work. And as you go into the holiday season, folks, think about it. Think about your legacy. Think about your commitment to yourself, to your loved ones, and make a promise. Make a promise about who you want to be in 2011 and beyond. And that's going to wrap our show for this week, but I want you to join me next Monday when we're going to be doing a special two-part series called Staying Calm in the Family Storm. I'm going to have my favorite therapist, Judy Fox, joining me. It's a holiday time, and we're going to help you keep joy alive during the holiday season. So have a great week, everyone. See you next week.